when life knocks you down, as Les Brown will say, try to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. It's not how many times you fall as an entrepreneur, it's how many times you come back, all right? And not, you know, listening to what the naysayers are going to say. And that's what makes you a true success. And that's what will make tomorrow, people who hear your story will be inspired, knowing that you did not just become something overnight.
To another episode of Walking Christ Show, a show where we inspire the masses to become financially free while building God's kingdom. Today on the show, we have Dr. Daniel Moses. Dr. Daniel Moses is a founder and CEO and managing director of Property Wealth Education. In this episode, we will discuss how Dr. Daniel teaches people how to invest and make money in property investing. So thank you for being here, Dr. Daniel.
Thank you so much, Damilola, for having me on your show. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I'm so fired up.
That's really great. First question, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, fantastically well. Great start of the week, great end of the week. I'm looking so fired up. Tomorrow as well, I'm going to be speaking in a gospel event in London, where I've been, you know, invited to be a guest speaker, where we're going to be teaching people in God's kingdom how to create wealth, how to literally dominate the abundance of God's kingdom on this planet Earth. So I'm really, really looking forward to the week, looking forward to tomorrow. It's been great.
That's wonderful. So I want to ask, you know, my next question is, you know, who is Dr. Daniel outside of being the CEO, the founder of Property Wealth Education? Who is Dr. Daniel?
Thank you so much for that question. So yeah, I mean, as you already had introduced me, and you know, you did a fantastic job, by the way, you know, just basically just sharing who I am. So yeah, I'm a father of two, and I've been married to my lovely wife, Millie Moses, over the last 17 years. We've been together, we've been married. And I mean, I'm just someone who has always wanted the best for myself. I always just wanted to inspire people. I always thought right from a very young age there was massive greatness inside of me. Though in the pursuit for that greatness, there's been massive roller coaster here and there. But again, the Bible clearly tells us he that is in us, all right, is greater than he that dwells in the world. And the Bible also tells us, all right, it says, with Christ I can do all things. And you know, me being who I am, regardless of, you know, the kind of things I've been through as, you know, in my journey, one of the things I've learned in life is that when you have God on your side and you have a vision behind you, God can bring that hunger that he is really, really aligning your purpose to come to fruition. So for me, I'm just a ordinary guy, a simple guy, a strong believer of God, and someone who just wants to make an impact through my message, through my teachings, and also just kind of see people really, really, really win in God's kingdom. So my biggest passion is to just help others.
Nah, I definitely appreciate that, you know, that your biggest passion is to help others. And I definitely love that you're a man of God. And you know, I can tell from just starting from this conversation that you are definitely a man of God. And you mentioned something about vision, you know, that you always vision yourself to be greater, you know, always vision yourself, you know, being that man that God created you, which kind of leads me to want to ask, you know, what led you to become an entrepreneur? What was that vision that like, yeah, this is what God wants me to be, you know, entrepreneur?
Great question. So when I was a really young boy, you know, at the age of 16, you know, I started selling anything sellable whilst I was still in my secondary school. When I moved into university, I always sold anything that was to be sold. So from cars to clothes, anything. I just wanted to make a bit of money, you know, and for me, anything that I wanted, I always would create a way to sell something so I can get it. So when I was in my, you know, my young age, at the age of 16, like I mentioned before, so my elder brothers, you know, they lived in Japan. They would bring things from Japan to Nigeria, and I would always sell and make a little bit of profit every now and then. So I think when I was, you know, as a young man, I just, you know, wanted the greatest things. I remember being in secondary school, right? When I sell something and I make a little bit of profit, I will probably, you know, buy, you know, a kind of a matte white t-shirt to go to school with. You know, I wouldn't wear a white t-shirt that was being sold, all right, by the school, but I will buy the one that is kind of marked. So because I wanted greater things, you know, and because I already knew how to sell things, I always wanted the best. But as you know, you wouldn't call that entrepreneurship. You know, a 16 years old boy wouldn't know whether that was an entrepreneurship, you know? So when I go into secondary school, when I go into university as well, I did the same. You know, I sold air conditions, all different kind of things in school because I was given that opportunity. But again, I did not really understand that this was entrepreneurship in me that was really developing, because if I had knew that, I probably would have read business. Okay. Mm-hmm. If I had knew that this was my passion, I would have read business. But instead, I went into school to study sociology and anthropology, which I never used. Okay. I never used it. So at the end of the day, I just went to school, studied anthropology. I can't even remember till today. I don't even remember the principles of being a sociologist. I don't even remember. But though I do kind of use a few of those skills that I acquired in school on my day-to-day life, but that was just a little bit about me right there. So, but whilst I was in university, in school, because I was selling things, because I was always someone that was very outspoken, and I kind of had my confidence, you know, I kind of got involved in different kind of things, which, you know, that put my life in danger at some point, put my life in risk, and in school way back, because, you know, I had the wrong set of group of friends around me and stuff like that. But cut long story short, you know, it all formed a part of my journey. So the biggest part of when I actually realized that, you know, I should actually follow the path of entrepreneurship was when I started to literally live on it, especially when I came into the UK, you know, haven't lived in Nigeria all my life. And I first came to this country in 2004 when I could not have a job because I needed papers. I needed to have legal, you know, immigration status in this country. So I didn't have a job. So I would literally go to the auntie's next door, help them to do some linear jobs, and I would get paid cash in hand. You know, I would, you know, help them load stuff in, you know, stuff in the car. I would get paid job in hand. So for me, it started to really, a lot of things started to really pop up. Why don't I chase this entrepreneurship journey? Now, I never knew about how to raise finance or how to get funding or how to really chase that journey as an entrepreneur. So for me, I just basically did anything that is doable, you know, just kind of chase the money rather than having a plan and a structure. So, you know, all these things, you know, of who I've become now over the last 6 years, kind of looking backwards, you know, how will I say this now? Looking backwards, right? For me, it's like all these different things that I was just kind of doing, hustling. Yes, that's the word. All these different type of hustling that I was doing, trying to sell cars, trying to sell clothes, trying to sell everything apart from drugs, okay? Everything else apart from drugs, okay? You know, literally opened my eyes that, you know what? It's been from a young age that I have actually, you know, adapted all these different skills that through coaching, through personal development, and through investing in myself now, that actually it's positioned me to be the entrepreneurship, you know, journey that I have now created for myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, I kind of relate to you, you know, as a 16-year-old, you know, here in the United States, I wasn't selling cars and stuff, but I was selling like snacks, you know, cookies, Skittles, M&Ms, you know, while I was in high school. And, you know, and I was always had like the same idea, like, I'm going to sell this amount of cookies or sell this amount of snacks, I can get a new sneaker at the end of the month, or, you know, I can take this girl out for a date. That was like my motivation to, you know, to be selling. So I can definitely relate to you, you know, just having that that goal, but not really understanding that that's what entrepreneurship. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, looking back, you know, you went through some different challenges. And just looking up your history, you know, I realized that in 2015, you kind of lost some money, you know, $150,000 pounds. due to business, you know, I want to talk about that. You know, what lessons did you learn from that experience, and how did you, you know, got into that situation?
You see, great question. So, by the way, when I went through all these different challenges in my life, like I said, selling all different kind of things, you know, whereby I never really studied business in school, or neither was that clearly aware, you know, about the true meaning of entrepreneurship. So having first came into this country in 2004, and I did anything that I could do to get my feet on the ground, and, you know, sold clothes and all of that, you know, and sold cars and all of these things. I, at some point in 2012, you know, just basically got off, you know, like, I can't continue to do all these different kind of things here. I needed to really establish myself as a true entrepreneur and go and start a proper business way back in Africa. So I relocated to Nigeria to tap into an industry within the oil and gas sector. So I established myself, my business. I went back to Nigeria and I got started in oil and gas industry. So having gotten started in the oil and gas industry, where I was delivering petroleum products on the downstream tech sector within the Nigerian oil and gas industry. So meaning I would take the petroleum from the semi or mini refineries or the depots where this product is being offloaded internationally. I would take the product and take it to the petrol station to the end users. All right, I would take it to them. And at this time, having been through all different types of journeys in my life, this became one of the most successful business I ever actually established from 2012 to around about 2015. Now, probably I would have thought in my head that I had achieved, you know, I've made some sort of achievements, but, you know, or learned other kind of lessons to kind of establish myself really well. But again, that kind of posed its own challenges in Nigeria, because in Nigeria, for example, at the time in 2012, there was still some certain infrastructures that wasn't in place. So how I went about losing this money was two of my petroleum products ended up loading petroleum products. All right. And from the west of Nigeria, moving this product to the northern part of Nigeria. And this was 65,000 liters of tankers on the road. So two of these tankers, you know, bumped into each of us. And for some reason, you know, I always say this, I always said there was just probably a force behind me not succeeding at that time. That was just something against, you know, because it was just too, like, this doesn't just happen to someone. But anyway, cut long story short, the two trucks bumped into each other and went into the valley, fell into the valley and exploded and burst into flame. And I ended up losing the trucks. These are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds. And plus the products that they're also carrying was worth hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds as well. So in total, I lost over 150,000 pounds. This was way back in 2015-ish, all right? So when I lost this, I was way back in England and my drivers called me up and told me, this is what had happened. Your trucks have gone into flame. We're lucky we did not die. Well, at that particular time when this happened, because I've invested all this little other money that I had somewhere, you know, over through me selling things and over through also investors and so on. When I lost this money, I lost the business, the lessons learned there was that I was going to quit. I was literally going to quit because something dawned on me that I have been chasing all my life. All my life, I have just wanted to be an entrepreneur and this is not happening. I went into anxiety, I went into depression, I went into hating myself. I went even thinking that life wasn't worth living, all right? Because I'm trying to do something in my life, but it's like every time I'm trying to succeed, something comes and just try to frustrate me. But this is where I'm a strong believer. So I've never literally gone to explaining the, you know, how God came into my life in maybe other conversations I've ever had. But one thing that did happen to me at that particular time was I realized that I have tried to do everything myself, but I needed to pray. I needed to know God. I needed to just let God take control. I needed to commit these things into the hands of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And at this point in time, I started to kind of, you know, go. I've always been a church, but I've never really, you know, paid attention like walking in church or, you know, go to church during the weekdays. I was this sort of, you know, Christian that just goes to church on a Sunday. You know, the preacher preaches and I just, you know, say amen and I go back home and life is normal again. And I was that kind of a Christian. I'm not saying I'm a bit different now, but the thing is, I pray around the clock now. Before, I only prayed when I wanted to pray, but now I pray around the clock. I pray, you know, a couple of times during the course of the day, during the course of the night, you know, and even just walking in the street sometimes, I just try to communicate with God. And this, for me, was, at that time, I thought it was something after me. I thought there was a storm looking to destroy me. But I didn't realize now that the storm that I went through in 2015 and 2016 wasn't there to actually destroy me. It wasn't there to end, you know, to end my career as an entrepreneur, but actually was there to create this person that I have become. Because if I didn't go through those storms, maybe I could have continued to struggle in Nigeria. Maybe I could have never had the possibility of making an impact through my voice, through my teachings, through my podcast, through my channels, through my social media influencing. But the challenges that I went through in 2015 and 16 when I lost everything made me who I am today. Today I'm an author, I'm a podcaster. I've got at least 100,000 followers on social media whose lives has been transformed. So the lessons that I learned is that you will have storm. Things will come to challenge you because through challenges come success. You see, when Jesus Christ first came to this planet Earth to die for your sin and my sin, when he came, he did not know that he was going to be beaten and, you know, and hanged on the cross of Calvary for him to die for our sin. But probably he knew that he was coming to this earth, you know, to be as a sign of sacrifice for us to have the life that we have today. But he did not probably know he was going to be beaten. So one thing changed for me. For Christ to resurrect again, he had to die. So sometimes for certain things to happen in your life, certain things have to die to live again. And that was the greatest lesson that I learned through when I lost over 150,000 pounds in my business.
Wow, that's pretty impressive that you were still able to have that kind of faith despite the kind of loss that you lost of 150,000 pounds. And, you know, just to kind of like, going more into details, you know, you explained the different emotions that you was going through during that time, you know, anxiety, depression, you know, giving up on life. And, you know, someone could be listening to this interview right now and, you know, they could be in the same position that you were in 2015. What would you say to that person, you know, especially a person who's been trying and keeping failing? What would you say to that person?
One of the things I like to say to anyone who's listening right now, when, you know, growing up, you know, from the age of 16, and as I began to hustle and sell things, right, apart from drugs again, okay, just for the viewers, you know, because when you use the word hustle, a lot of people always think it's drugs, it's something. Does that make sense? So I'm just trying to clarify that. So whilst I hustled and did all these different kind of sales and stuff like that to try and make my life better, you know, one thing I was not told as an entrepreneur is that, you know, life will beat you up and down before you can ascertain some level of success. You know, we live in a world where most of us just get into business for the sake of getting into business, thinking that when you become an entrepreneur, life is going to be better. But the fact is, once you begun your journey as an entrepreneur, life is going to knock you up and down. Every single reason to quit is going to be in front of you. Now, take Elon Musk, for example. Elon Musk launched over 4 or 5, you know, rockets, you know, to the sky before the fifth one became a success. But people don't see that. PayPal attempted to fail a couple of times before it was sold successfully. And all these different successful, you know, business owners who are out there, they failed so many times, but because they have not shared their story quite enough, as they grew through this process, when we look at it, aspiring, you know, people who are aspiring entrepreneurs look at the glossy things. We say, oh, they've made it. I want to be them. But if they tell you what they've been through, the amount of time they wanted to quit, you will never believe it. You know, and what changed for me is I started to look at the stories of all the successful people. Look at Donald Trump, for example. Donald Trump, before he became one of the most successful real estate business entrepreneurs, there were so many times he filed for bankruptcy, or there were so many times his business tried to fail. All the greatest world business leaders out there, Grant Cardone, one of my mentors, you know, he, in 2008 to 2009 recession, he was almost wiped out completely. So apart, you know, entrepreneurs need to start looking at, you know, how many times that we, you know, all these great success innovators out there try to fail, you know, before they actually became a success. Now, failure is not, you know, something that entrepreneurs shouldn't be proud of, because failing to win a game is great. But when you are on this journey, the moment you quit, that's when you actually fail. But as long as you fail and you don't fail backward and you fail forward, that is what actually brings out the true meaning of entrepreneurship in you. So my word is, when life knocks you down, as Les Brown would say, try to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. It's not how many times you fall as an entrepreneur, it's how many times you come back, all right? And not, you know, listening to what the naysayers are going to say. And that's what makes you a true success. And that's what will make tomorrow, people who hear your story will be inspired, knowing that you did not just become something overnight.
Hey, family, I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. And if you are and you have yet to subscribe to us here on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. And also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts and you have yet to leave us a 5-star review, please do so. Now back to the episode. That you mentioned, you know, Elon Musk. Oftentimes, you know, when you look at people of that status, you know, Donald Trump, people never look to do research and figure out, you know, the challenges that they went through, you know, understand like the amount of money they lost, you know. And I want to kind of go back to something that you said earlier in this interview. You said that, you know, when you was from age 16 to when you lost that $150,000 of money, that you was chasing entrepreneurship. You know, and he was chasing, I guess, and I don't know if it's safe to say, you know, money, like just to have that material wealth. And oftentimes you can see that the same thing happens today. People just chasing to become entrepreneurship because of the idea of what entrepreneurship can be. Would you say is still a good thing for people to chase entrepreneurship? You know, you're still an entrepreneur yourself. You know, what should people chase if not entrepreneurship? That should be the better question.
The thing is, in order for you to say to yourself, you want to become an entrepreneur, I think you've got to be prepared. One thing I did not understand was the importance of mentorship. Mentorship changed my life today. So all these whiles I've been trying to do business, I didn't have mentors. I did not invest in myself because, you know, I just didn't know. You have to invest in yourself to get under people who are doing great things to help you, you know, get to your goals. So what changed for me in 2017, you know, was that in 2016, I started to learn about what I want to become, especially, for example, real estate. So when I got the revelation to get started in real estate, for the first time, this is where God changed my life. So every single thing that I've ever done, I've never found someone who was doing it to say, okay, Dr. Daniel, get it done like this. Dr. Daniel, you know, this is what you need to do next. This is what you need to do next. I never really even saw someone that I can watch on YouTube. I never even saw someone that I can listen to his podcast day in, day out, and apply his processes and how to run a business, into my processes. So mentorship is what changed for me. So what I will say to a lot of individuals who are looking to become an entrepreneur, don't try to get so many mentors because you become a public liability. You want to narrow down and become laser focused, right? So you want to probably find yourself two or three people that could initially kind of help you recondition and rewire your mindset. Once these three people has helped you out, you want to pick one out of the three and then follow that one's processes. So when I wanted to start in my property journey now in 2016, I went to, you know, the first seminar, the second and the third, and I picked the best out of them to mentor me. Then when I wanted to transition at any given point, you know, in my business, I always found, again, I went to three people, then I picked one and I went with their process. So when I started to do this now, I started to see how my business turned around. I started to really see that I am an entrepreneur, or I am someone who was going to get there. But a lot of entrepreneurs wake up not investing in themselves and not learning through other people who are already doing it and just dive into it. And that's, you know, one of the things that went wrong over and over and over and over in the previous years as I struggled through, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, becoming a business person, because I just thought, okay, yeah, oh, this guy's selling shoes, I'm going to go and buy shoes to sell. This guy's selling TVs, I'm going to go and buy TVs and sell as well. This guy's selling petroleum products, I'm going to go and buy petroleum products to sell. But what changed for me now is that I wanted to do property. I found someone who was doing property and I followed their process for at least a minimum of 6 to 12 months. And I've never looked back, and my business has continued to grow, continued to scale. So if you are thinking of going into entrepreneurship right now, first thing first, one thing is life will beat you up and down, okay? There will be days you don't want to get out of your bed because you have to be creative. Entrepreneurs are creatives, all right? Entrepreneurs are generators. So they generate income. So they create an idea and the idea generates an income, all right? So if you can't do these two things, then entrepreneurship is not for you. Can you develop it? Definitely, yes, you can develop it. So, and you know, and it, that's just how, you know, people should look at it, all right? You have to be creative. You have to understand entrepreneurship is not instant success. Forget about all the glossy things you see on social media and Instagram, all right? Forget about all of that. All of that will come once you get it right. But obviously, we live in the new era where everything is instant gratification. Nobody really wants to work, but everybody wants to enjoy life, which kind of conflicts the true meaning of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That definitely contradicts, you know, the true meaning of entrepreneurship, because, you know, you look in the Bible, you look at, you know, even Christ, even for him to get that glory, he had to go through some pain. He had to go through some suffering. You know, you think of so many different people, Abraham, they had to go through some type of thing so they can value that experience and understand God's will for their life. And, you know, you mentioned something just now. You're saying that in 2016, 2017, God kind of gave you the revelation for you to get into property investing. And I want to ask, you know, how did your faith, you know, help you? How has your faith helped you in this journey so far, you know?
Wow. First of all, you know, this gives me a great pleasure to really express myself to anyone who's listening right now that God is real. All right, God is real, because in 2016, I can never forget, as an Uber driver, I was driving over 18 hours a day. And I kept questioning God. I kept asking myself, God, what next? God, what next? I'm not going to continue like this. I have actually succeeded before in life. I've actually, you know, built a business that could feed me and my kids and my wife. I just want to have the best of everything. And God, if you're the true creator of the heavens and the earth, reveal to me, show me the way. And I remember there was this day I went to do an airport drop-off, dropping someone off at the airport. And I felt like I was so knackered because I had driven from 5 o'clock in the evening to around about 8 a.m. the next morning as an Uber driver. I remembered I had made a drop at Stansted Airport. I was driving all the way back. And whilst I was on the motorway, I felt asleep, literally slept for like a few, you know, minutes on the wheels, wow. You know, so I could have died. But wow. I didn't die. I survived. Anyways, I fell asleep and I had to find the next service station. So whilst I pulled over into the service station, all right, and I said, okay, let me find the next service station. No matter where it is, I need to just have a nap. So I remember pulling into that station, parked over my car, and literally fell asleep, and I had a good nap. It was in that nap that I got the revelation. I literally saw myself, all right, do exactly what I'm doing today. In the dream, I found myself looking at properties. I found myself talking to so many people. Listen to that again. I found myself in properties and I found myself talking to so many people.
Wow.
I woke up from that sleep and I literally took up my phone And I was going to turn back my Uber app so I can take the next ride from where I am, setting my location to bring me back home because I was closing my shift now.
Yeah.
Whilst I was going to open my Uber shift, I literally took my phone and I was going to open my Uber app. And there you go, I went to Facebook. I went to Facebook and I'm scrolling through Facebook and I saw an ad on my Facebook saying, get started in property with little or no money. And I'm like, hold on a minute. I can't just have a dream. Okay. And this is happening right now. This is where, when you're a Christian, it's quite important to pray for the spirit of discernment. And God will give you the spirit of discernment no matter who you are, whether you're the holiest person, whether you're not. You see, if you look at the Bible, God used even the worst people to do his miracles. So I'm not, like I said, very deep Christian, but I understand the core principles. Anyways, I picked up my Facebook account and literally this ad pops in my pay. It was £70. It was the last £70 that I had on my credit card.
Wow.
I literally was going to use the money to buy my petrol to take me to Friday because as an Uber driver, Uber pays us on every single Friday. Now, £70, I think about it. How am I going to do this? Okay, how am I going to pay for this? I've only got this last amount of money. But anyway, I took the chance. I registered myself onto that £70 networking event. And there goes weekend. I was there. Not even knowing how I'm going to buy my petrol on a Thursday. But luckily, I spoke to one of my friend, Ben. And the next day, he gave me money to buy petrol. So I was good. So by the weekend, I've gone to the course now on a Friday, not a course, a networking event. I've gone to the networking event and I'm so super fired up. I'm so super excited that, oh, my life is going to change now. And that was the mentality. The mentality was this was going to change my life. I'm going to become wealthy. That was the mindset. But then I go into this room. I was the only colored person in the room. Mm. And I'm feeling intimidated now. Oh, this is not for you. It's not for people like myself. And I had every single doubt that you will have as a person not to do it. I went to church on a Sunday and I picked up one of my very close friends from church. And I'm so excited about, yeah, this is what's happening. I'm going to become wealthy now. I'm going to be rich now. It's like, hey, Daniel Moses. I wasn't a doctor then. So it's like, oh, Daniel Moses, don't worry about that, Daniel. It's not for you. This kind of things don't happen to us. You know, You've lost a lot of money. You've been through a lot already. Why do you want to get yourself into something else? Like you're selling yourself this mirage of a dream. Cut long story short, I didn't listen to him. Having that conversation with him gave me more reason to prove him wrong.
Mm.
And today I have proved everyone wrong. And I'm just super grateful that God has been my strength. He's been my buckler. You know, he's been my source of direction. You know, even till today, God has so much blessed me where God would give me names of individuals, all right? If I'm looking for money, God would give me names of individuals to call to get money from. You know, God has built me so much that God would tell me, you know, that's the next deal. I will hear the sound of his audible voice in my ears saying, that's your next deal. Yes, it's going to be challenging, but I will make a way. That's the level that God has blessed me up to. That I am so blessed that the word in Corinthians 2, where it says, therefore, there should be no condemnation for those who are in Christ, right? Even when I do things wrong, he will convict me and I will apologize and I will suffer for a few days or weeks. But when he eventually forgives me, I know he's forgiven me. And that's the sort of relationship that I have with God now. You know, and this just gives me a great opportunity to be discussing this in Wealth with Christ podcast, because God is real. God is literally real. In your business, God can give you like direction.
Nah, you're 100% right. You're 100% right about that. And I definitely can relate to that, where I'm doing like creating content and God give me an idea, you know, what to post and what to say. I can definitely relate to that. But, you know, one thing that I want to go more into detail, you mentioned that, you know, you went to church after you went to this networking event and you was telling a friend, you know, and that friend didn't And that's, I guess, for lack of better words, they didn't believe in that dream, you know, because they were, she was so, he or she was used to your past. All they know is your past. And oftentimes, you know, whether Christian or not, you know, we have people who are around us who knows just our past. And because of that, you know, what they say, you know, people don't ever get to the next level. And I'm sure someone who's listening, they may have a friend or two who may be sharing their dreams to, sharing their goals to. And for whatever reason, they don't, you know, because their friend don't believe in them, they don't believe in themselves. So how would you tell someone to ignore that friend and, you know, to find that courage in God to continue to pursue what God has called them to do?
You know, the thing is, right, this is where in Christendom, and one of the things I've come to really notice is that, you know, Christ did not say we should all be afraid. Never. Christ did not ever say to us, you know, that, you know, good things is not for us. In fact, God says, he says he will give us the treasures of darkness. He said that in the Holy Bible, he will give us the treasures of darkness. He said, you know, all things, the birds in the sky, everything belongs to us. Now, I think this is where you have to understand and have some creativity around you, that when you speak to man and somehow, you know, it's not because that they hate you or they don't love you, but they're just trying to, they're thinking about themselves and their disbelief in Christ on you. They're reflecting their disbelief in you. You know, for every single challenges I've gone through in my life now, everything just makes sense. I fought immigration battles to live in this country. I fought money challenges to become successful, building a portfolio of over £7 million in the last 2 years. I fought different battles to become a public speaker. I fought different battles. I'm the very first author in my family. I'm writing my second book now as well. So there's been different battles. God said he will give us everything that we want in this life. Obviously, we've got to be faithful to him. We've got to be, you know, thankful to him. We've got to trust and believe in him. But sometimes one of the things that do happen is people, when God gives us vision, we've gone to express the vision to someone that we shouldn't be expressing the vision to, and we're expecting a response from that person. And in expecting the response from that person, we instead go through that person rather than believing what God has given to us. Because when God gives you a dream, he backs it up. For me, when God gave me a dream, he's backed it up every single now and then. Even when I run out of money, you know, even when I run out of connection, even when I run out of so many different types of situations in my life, because I know that he that is in me who has given me the vision, you know, I will listen. Just that the book of Habakkuk says, it says, I will listen on my rampart and I will listen what he will say down to me. And I will write it down so that an Arab may run with it. So I think it's quite important that only you and God knows your relationship with you and God. Sometimes people wait for human beings like us, flesh to flesh, to justify our relationship with God. But not forgetting that they are like you. They're not, you know, God did not say that I have to go through to man for man to pray to me. Yes, he anoints specific people in your life, but the relationship you need with him. And if you're patient enough, and if you trust in him enough, he will reveal things to you. There is, you know, the other day I had a conversation with someone. They said, oh, pray, pray, shout. I said, well, it's not by shouting that you know you're praying. It's not by shouting. You can meditate. You can be calm and you can connect to heaven. There are times where I'll be in my bed and I can feel my spirit man praying out aloud, but yet my mouth is closed. So, you know, it's very important that we should train very carefully, because other people can end up, you know, reflecting themselves on us, and we can end up eliminating God's mission for us. So trust in the voice of discernment. Trust that he gave you the idea. But, you know, obviously when the devil gives idea the same way God gives ideas, but you can always discern between God and between Satan.
No, that's powerful. That is powerful. What you just said, you can always discern. I think that's why it's important. You know, oftentimes, you know, people think discernment is only something that you do only in church, but you need discernment in every aspect of your life, in business and relationship. Because, like you said, you know, the devil also gives you ideas. The devil also sends people to you, just as God sends people to you. And you know, I want to kind of change the conversation a bit to your property investing journey. You know, you're saying that in the past 2 years, you have acquired over 7 million pounds of property. So I want to ask, you know, what strategies did you implement to acquire this portfolio of different property worth 7 million pounds today?
Fantastic question there as well. So in the US, it's called the rehab strategy. So buy, rehab. So it's called buy, rehab, and refinance. In the UK, it's called buy, refurb. All right, rent and refinance. All right. To be honest, when I started this strategy, I first learned it in America because I got a book by, my days has escaped me now. So I bought a book in America, and then I started looking at it in America, and all of a sudden something popped up in the UK, and I found myself a mentor who kind of showed me how to do it. So buy rehab is called in the US. It's a situation whereby you buy, it's a strategy, not a situation. It's a strategy where you buy rundown properties and you uplift those values of those properties through refurbishments. And instead of selling them, you refinance them. You put a new loan on it. And then the bank gives you, you know, money based on the new value. And it allows you to basically pay the cost of which you have used for the refurbishment, the cost of which you've used for acquiring these particular properties. And this was exactly how I managed to, you know, buy the first one, rehab it. I'm going to use American term. All right. Buy it, rehab it. All right. And then rent it out and then refinance it to get all my money out. And I just kept doing that. And God did awesome thing during the most difficult time on the planet Earth when there was famine in the land. Even now, we're still farming the land. But the fact is that the Bible says in the days of famine, his people shall enjoy plenty. So for me, over the days of famine, God has elevated my business. And I've just continued to use investors' money to continue to buy these assets, refurbish them, give them great return, and then hold on to the asset for future capital appreciation.
I'm definitely well familiar with that strategy, the bird strategy, for those who are listening and those who are watching. That's what he's referring to. So I want to add, you know, you mentioned that you kind of learned this from a book that you bought, that you got from America. I want to ask, you know, is there any difference between this type of style, this type of strategies that someone will use here in the United States versus, you know, in the UK?
Yeah, so the thing is, property is one across the globe, all right? Property is property, whether you're buying commercial real estate or whether you're buying residential real estate. But one of the things people have got to do is that, you know, I'll give an example. Grant Cardone is my mentor. He's based in the US. So I look at a lot of his stuff and I relate his stuff, what he does in America, into the UK. In as much as I could probably be speaking in his style because he's speaking a quite a very, people say he's arrogant. He's not arrogant. He's worked hard. He shows everything that he does. Now, in as much a lot of people could disagree with that here in the UK, but I kind of pick a lot of stuff from him as my mentor. Okay. So, and the same way for those who are looking to kind of get into real estate, and probably those are going to be listening right now in this podcast, they can see what I'm doing, but what they just need to do, or they can come and learn from me, for example. What they just need to do is to be able to make a switch into how it would work by applying some specific, you know, due diligence, some specific research to bring it into fruition. Does that make sense? So real estate is one. Real estate is the same, all right? Whether in the US, whether it's here. In the US, you know, you have multifamily, you know, door to door. In the UK, we call it houses of multiple occupation. All right, multifamily is called HMOs. Okay, so it's just that we're giving it different names. But if you study real estate enough, you understand actually it's the same. In Nigeria, they call it face me, I face you, right? Face me, I face you. That's what they call it in Nigeria. In Nigeria is where you build a bungalow of 10 rooms, and each of the rooms facing one another, and they have a public toilet and a public bathroom and a public kitchen at the back, right? It's called face me, I face you, all right? So it's just called different names.
You're right. You're 100% right that, you know, no matter where in the world, you know, real estate, you can do real estate. And, you know, I want to ask, you know, what are three characteristics traits that someone needs to become a successful property investor, specifically in the UK?
You need intelligence, you need creativity. Right, you need intelligence, you need creativity, and finally, you need to be someone who is full of resilience. no quitting. You've got to be full of resilience. You've got to be able to navigate your way through. And those are just the three qualities. That simple. All right. Very simple.
And I know what you're calling, you know, in the UK right now, especially like England, you know, with the change of prime minister, you know, inflation, interest rates are going up. How would you say someone should go about investing, buying property in this current environment?
Great question. You need to have knowledge, all right? You know, having been through massive, massive roller coaster of me now truly discovering myself, you see, I started to understand that once you build social currency, which is credibility and brand awareness, all right? Social currency, social media, and brand awareness. Once you build this, okay, and you know, anyone can invest in you, right? Once you have that credibility and you have the brand, you have the, you know, you have all the great stuff around you, people generically would invest with you. But this to happen, first of all, you need knowledge. No one is going to come and give you money. Even the bank these days wants to know what is your entry and your exit strategy. What are you looking to do and how are you looking to get out? That's what you're looking at. So for me right now, I've got quite a significant, you know, knowledge around myself because I've done so many things in property over the last 5 to 6 years. And I understand that it's important for you to build your own personal economy. Now, with the kind of strategies that I do, right, it doesn't matter whether the interest rates are going to go, you know, over the roof. You know, it doesn't really matter, right? Because as long as I'm thinking, number one, long term, number two, can it pay for itself? Can the debt service itself? All right. Interest rates could be fixed for 3 years, could be fixed for 5 years. So if I buy a house today for the sake of numbers and the mortgage, the loan or the debt I've taken from the bank is going to cost me £1,000. All right. And that same property that I'm going to buy and is going to generate me, you know, it's going to cost me £1,000 to service the debt to the bank. However, the property is going to generate me £3,000 a month. It doesn't really matter how much that interest is, as long as I'm paying £1,000 and I'm still left with £2,000 a month. Now, this is why it's so important for people to understand how to create wealth. You see, all these successful organizations, businesses, even countries are run on the back of debt, right? The debt just needs to be able to pay for itself, service itself. And if you can squeeze out extra for yourself, then fine. But long term, it will correct. So I'll give an example again. I rent my houses to six people. Six people pays me rent if it's a five or if it's a six bed house. Six people renting this house gives me six rents, month in, month out. So now if one of them loses their job and two of them loses their job, three people are still going to be able to pay me rent, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, if three people pays me this rent, and if I bring these two rents together, all right, this is still going to help me service the debt on the house, which is the money I'm going to pay on the mortgage to the bank. So the one rent that is left, these two people not having a job now, will still help me cover the cost of maintaining the property. So in the meantime, temporarily, I just know that, okay, these two people, I just need to work with them as quickly as possible to get them out or get a replacement so that I can start making money again. And that's what people need to really understand, how to navigate crisis, how to navigate, you know, recessions. It doesn't mean that the world is going to close down on you. It just means that you just have to make sure that even if you're leveraging, even if you're borrowing, regardless of what the interest rate is, you still need to have an income coming through that at least will service the debt and still give you a little bit of extra. All right. If you can give it times two, then that's fine. So if you're paying 1,000 off to the mortgage lender, all right, and you're still making £1,000, fantastic. But if you're not making £1,000 extra, how about £500? So if you're making £500, yes, you'll be tight now, not a problem. But over time, it will correct itself, even though your loan is fixed for a certain time. I just think people need to understand that, you know, for me, I have different views on how I see things. So I originally born and raised in Nigeria. The basic bank rate in Nigeria is 27%. Currently, the basic bank of England's interest rate is 3%. So if you're looking at both economies, money is actually very cheap in England and cheap in the US. All right. And that's how I look at things. It's cheap. All right. But on the long term, if I take money from the bank now, regardless of what the interest rate are, you know, statistics have shown to us that regardless of whatever, wherever you're investing from, whether in Nigeria, whether in the United States of America, whether in Dubai, whether in England, statistics have shown us that property always tend to double in value if bought at the right location every 10 years. Every 10 years, there is an incline market or there's a decline market. Now, the 10 years sometimes could push into 15 years, but there would be that incline within that life circle. The last recession was in 2008 to 2010. By 2011, things kind of got stabilized. In the, I mean, 2010, things started to stabilize across the globe. That was economic crunch, right? But now in this current market that we are, it's cost of living crisis, is wars in Ukraine, is, you know, is the pandemic. Okay, so people just need to kind of understand that on a long term, 10 years time, the property that you're buying at this particular time, regardless, it's going to be worth a bit slightly more as long as you buy in the right location. So the interest rate wouldn't really matter because it's how can you make it work and can it pay itself and can I even make more profit in 10 years time? I think long-term thinking is the only way to navigate recession.
Well, yeah, you're 100% right. And you know, I'm sure everybody's been listening, but I want to add, if you can give like three steps that someone who's listening and watching can do right now to put themselves in position in the UK to buy property, what would those three steps be?
Number one is don't do what you don't understand. If you need to do it, find the people who understands it and already doing it and invest with them. So, example, if you've got $100,000 in your bank account right now and you wanted to start a business, but you're afraid of losing that money and you want to invest in real estate, but you don't want to do it in the US and you want to do it here in the UK, reach out to me, right? And collaborate with myself to gain great return. Let me take all the risk and guarantee your income back to you, right? And that's how you want to look at it. But how about if you're not fearful and you really want to do it, then get some knowledge, all right? Get some knowledge. Understand the pros, the cons, the highs and the lows, and then take the risk. And finally, understand everything is risk. From the moment you wake up in the morning, the day is not guaranteed. From the moment you get out of bed, anything could happen. A lot of people woke up this morning and died this evening. A lot of people woke up and died this afternoon. So nothing in life is guaranteed. So you've got to understand risk is part of life. But all we just got to do is to keep praying to God to live a good life, to have a good health, you know, and to do the basic thing. So you just got to understand, right? If you can't do it, get others who are doing it and others you can trust, others you like and you believe in, collaborate with them if you're risk averse or if you want to be passive. If you want to be active, get knowledge and go through their directions and get it done.
That's really great. That's really great. You know, I want to definitely thank you for your time. Thank you for this conversation. I'm talking about UK, you know, property investing. For those who may want to tap in with you, you know, what are some resources that you have available for someone to tap into with you?
Great. For anyone that wants to connect with myself, you can go into Apple Podcasts or Spotify and just search for the Wealth and Business Podcast. So I have a podcast called the Wealth and Business Podcast. You can go and listen to a lot of my stuff on there as well. And number two, you can reach out to me on Instagram is Dr. Daniel Moses. So dr.danielmoses. And that's exactly how to find me, you know, across social media. Or you can just basically Google my name, you know, on social media and you probably, you know, find me there as well. And if you really want to know what I do, visit my website. My website is www.propertywe.co.uk. So I say it again, www.propertywe.co.uk.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And, you know, you can have a word of wisdom for someone who has listened to this whole interview, heard your story, but still having doubt, you know, we're in the current recession. A lot of governments have not, you know, confirmed that we're in recession. And because of that, you know, a person maybe still be fearful despite hearing the motivation, hearing how God has shown up in your life? What would you say to that person as a word of wisdom?
Two things. The number one first thing is the Bible clearly tells us he that is in us is greater and mightier than he that dwells in the Word. Before the Word was God, all right, and the Word was God, okay, and God is our utmost creator. Now, if God has already told us right from the beginning that he that dwells in us is greater than he that dwells in the world. In fact, it says ye are gods. It means he created us. We too are creators. And that's why, for example, you're in the US right now. You're doing this interview from the US and I'm far away here in London. Creators created Zooms, you know, podcasts. God gave those ideas to those people. 20 years ago, there was no iPhones. By revelation, God gave all these individuals innovative ideas. And these innovative ideas today, we can't live without them. Nobody can live without the internet today. If the whole world was to crash on the internet today, you know, you get where I'm coming from. You know, yeah. I'm short-sighted, right? God gave the creator of this, of how people can see clearly. You know, God gave, you know, Steve Jobs the ideas. So we all have an idea inside of us, but don't let your idea die with you. Don't go to your grave without, bringing out the best of what God has created in you. And that, you know, this leads me to say that if you heard this, you know, proverb that, you know, a lot of people talk about, it says the grave is one of the most richest place on the planet because a lot of people had ideas, but they let fear hold them back. But remember this, fear is unreal things appearing to be real. The choice is yours. You either want to be, you know, you either want to live in fear or you either want to confront fear and see your life impact so many others. And don't forget, I'll wrap up with this. Everything we has ever wanted, anything you've ever wanted in life is on the other side of fear. You've got to do whatever you can to confront the fear in order for you to make an impact because ye are gods.
Wow. Definitely thank you for that. And, you know, for those who are listening, I hope you guys don't forget to hit the subscribe button and tell a friend about this show if you haven't blessed. And if you're looking for a group of Christians who are working towards becoming financially free, look no further and join the Pray and Invest group on Facebook. And thank you again, Dr. Daniel, and look forward to seeing you guys next week.